From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the Night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever forevering, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. How's it going today?
It's doing good. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. You know what? It's been a couple weeks where we had kind of rocky roads here.
It was last week. We're on the road to get to the studio. Everything was fine and dandy. I got halfway here and ran into some real bad weather conditions and some road conditions, and I hightailed it right back around.
Well, you know, the safety of the host and the producer is always
absolutely
first and foremost, so I'm glad you made it right, Bob. But yeah, a lot of rocky weather here the past couple weeks, so it's good to be back finally for another live episode of Bob After Dark.
Absolutely.
Seems forever. It seems forever.
Whenever we miss a week, it feels like forever. And, you know, in the world of podcasting, in the world of this stuff, most shows you find are either bi-weekly, so every other week, or once a month. And then there's me and Count Panic that do a weekly show.
Yeah.
And it's weird when you miss a week, because then it just throws off the entire schedule.
Well, we think we have one good week in there, and then it snows on that one good week, and there's snow, and there's ice, and people don't realize there's a lot of dangers that go into doing a show, but finally be back to on a normal night of Tuesday. It's a good feeling, Bob. It's a good feeling.
Absolutely. Count, let's get your weekend update before we pass it over to somebody special.
Somebody special is on the Zoom call right now, but my weekend, Bob, like a lot of weekends of 2020, a lot of weekends of now of 2021, not a whole lot of events happening. I mean, it's pretty calm. It's pretty subdued. Not a whole lot happening, especially when it's snowing like crazy, when there's ice like crazy. You really can't go anywhere, Bob. So even for vampires like myself, I was stranded at home and didn't really have much to, or many places to go this past weekend. How about you, Bob?
You know, I have become a hermit over the past several weeks.
I thought it was a lot of snow. You had an excuse this weekend.
A lot of snow, a lot of cold.
Yeah.
I literally went out Sunday for 3 minutes, literally to go knock some icicles off the house. And
oh,
that was about it.
That's a lawsuit. Good for you.
Well, I mean, that and don't want to knock down the
that's
gutters.
That's true, yeah.
So that was pretty much my weekend. I spent it doing some just general maintenance in life, catching up on sleep and thought exercises and prepping for the episode this week.
Big episode, Bob.
We have a big episode, and we're going to be talking to somebody very special here in just a moment, but we have some good news.
What's the good news, Bob?
So the podcast, as we've known, has been under construction for about a month and a half.
Yes.
And we were back and forth trying to figure out what was going to happen, where we were going. I mean, we're still, you know, powered by Memoriam Development.
Of course.
But we had a lot of issues switching podcast hosts. It was a whole thing, and the podcast was down for a while. It was only found in Spotify if you were lucky. But now we're back up and running on everything we were previous. Plus, we've been accepted to India's biggest podcasting platform. So Kajami Podcast.
Wow.
And all of our fans in India, hello. Oh, hey there. And I got word tonight we got accepted by China's biggest podcast platform. So hello to our Chinese audience as well.
Bob, can you speak Chinese at all?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll have to learn it. We'll have to learn it. Well, they got it already, so we'll have to learn it, Bob. We'll have to
absolutely
learn it.
So hello to our international audiences. We're happy to have you.
Yes.
And we're happy to be there with all of you guys.
Of course.
So we're very excited to have everything up and running. Now, Count, usually we start to show off with some spooky news of the week. Worked out. So two of our fans, Ian and James, actually sent in an article right back-to-back with each other about this Haunted Honey Company.
Mm.
And we sent you out on the hunt to try to track them down to see if we can talk a little bit about this haunted honey. And yes, you heard that right. Honey is in the
haunted honey.
Would you consider honey a condiment or a spice?
What to ask the guest?
We're gonna ask the guest. So I'll let you introduce.
Yes, Craig Forsyth here. Of course, he's got a company called Bees Guys LLC. He's got haunted honey, Bob.
Haunted honey, as in like the stuff you put in tea when you're sick.
Yes, Bob.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's a very exciting time for us right here on Bob After Dark. So he's on the Zoom right now. Do you want me to patch him in?
Let's patch him in.
Okay, let's see here. Craig, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey there, Craig. He's Welcome there. To Bob After Dark.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to dive right into the company and know what it is about haunted honey.
Well, first thing is, I know y'all are in Indiana. I'm way down here in South Louisiana and New Orleans, and I hear y'all talking about the weather up there, how it's freezing, and we haven't got freezing this year, and it's about to start getting cold this weekend. It's supposed to get below 30.
Oh, boy.
We're going to shut the state down.
Wow.
Like, nobody moves when it gets below 40 degrees down there. So we're not used to it like y'all.
We're in negative 20 right now.
Yeah, it's negative five with the wind chill.
It's 65 degrees, 70 outside. Wow. But it's going to be probably 20 coming another day or two.
Terrible. 20 is warm for us.
20, that's a heat wave, Craig.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But that really keeps our bees going down here because we really don't get a winter down here.
That's always good.
Matter of fact, we have not hit freezing since this last year or this year.
So, Craig, tell me a little bit about yourself, minus that you're rubbing it in that you have nice weather.
Well, my name's Craig. I have a company. It's called Bee Guys. We're beekeepers. And what we do is we remove honeybees from all different types of places, from people's houses, from businesses, anywhere for the most part, because they get in all kind of little cracks and crevices. And if you know anything about New Orleans, we're below sea level down here. We're very, very low. So you really can't dig holes very deep. Some places you dig a hole a foot deep in the ground and you hit water and that's it. So we have to bury a lot of our deceased above ground in above ground tombs.
Yes.
And mausoleums. So the old saying that you're not better than me, I'm not better than you, our graves are going to be the same size, that's true probably everywhere else but New Orleans. We have graves down here for one person that are some 40 feet tall, different things like that. You know, they're grand walk graves. They're just huge. But anyway, the honeybees, they get inside of these tombs for the most part when after the aging that happens, and they have little cracks, crevices that they get into. And once they get inside, honeybees want exactly what we have. They're just like humans. They want a small door that leads into a big cavity. So when y'all go home, you got to walk through a small door that you're going to lead into your living room. It's a big cavity where you have your refrigerator, your big screen TV. So honeybees are the same way. So their big cavity that they love down here is right over the coffins. When they can find a little door, they go right over the coffins and they make their nests. And sometimes those nests can be up to 10 to 12, 14 feet long.
Wow.
About 200 feet wide.
Huh.
Very, very big nests that we get down here. We do them all the time. It all depends on the time of the year, but we get called out from all the cemeteries down here because we're the main beekeeping company, I guess you say. We're the professionals at it. And we get called out by the cemeteries when they have problems with honeybees, when they start attacking the groundskeepers or the visitors, different things like that. And it starts becoming a safety hazard. So when that happens, they call us out there. We go remove everything and make sure we find them a new home. We suck them up. We save them. We don't kill anything. And we replace them back into nature. Or sometimes we can put them inside of another beehive and, keep on making honey and, you know, keep on making bees to replace our bee population that's struggling.
Right. The concept is now, so you get honey from these bees that hang out in cemeteries?
Yes. When they go inside of these graves, we've been taking bees out for probably 16 or 17 years out of tombs. and mausoleums, different things like that. So what we do is when we take the honey out, whether it be comb honey, a liquid honey, or wax of any type, when we have things that we can actually use, we've been keeping them and keeping them. And we have a big stockpile of it over, you can imagine, over the years of how much honey we would have over 17 years of not touching it. Honey never goes bad. It's not like apples or oranges. They have a shelf life. Honey has been buried in the Egyptian tombs, and it's still good. You know, when archaeologists dig it up, it's still good. So it's the purest food on the planet. So when you said, is it a condiment or a spice? It's a little bit of both. It's really a main course, if you would say, if you're getting into naturality. Huh. Because it's the most natural food there is. It never, ever goes bad. There's nothing you can do to it to make it go bad.
Well, that's interesting. So the honey that you're getting from these tombs, and, you know, there's a lot of, in my world, in the metaphysical, there's a lot of energy trapped in cemeteries, which is why you get a lot of paranormal happenings.
Yes,
you think,
we hear a lot about that.
So do you ever find that the honey you're bringing out of these places are have some metaphysical properties to them, ever bringing energy back with you or what have you, if you're a believer?
Yeah, I wouldn't call myself, I would say, a believer. I'm a little bit of everything. I'm not a fanatic about anything. I was born and raised Catholic, but like I said, I'm not a fanatic about anything.
Sure.
I take little bits from here and there, and I have had experiences myself with things, with taking bees out of tombs and the honey and different things like that. And throughout when we started this, since October 1st of 2020, and that's just a few short months from now, since we started this, we talked to so many different witches, pagans, different people like that, witch doctors down here, voodoo priests, and this has gone worldwide, literally worldwide overnight. We're just a little beekeeping company, and I'm not sure if either one of y'all ever had honeybees anywhere or ever had to deal with them. Most likely not. You know, but if you ever had an electrical problem or a plumbing problem, I'm sure you know an electrician or a plumber, but not too many people know a beekeeper.
You're the first.
Anyway, what's that?
You're the first.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're a very small niche down here. We're the unsung heroes. We're the ones that don't get too much press, you know, but when you actually come home from Winn-Dixie or a supermarket down here, Walmart, and you come home to a house full of thousands of bees that wasn't there when you left, you're glad you know who I am.
Absolutely.
You're glad you have our number.
Who are you going to call the Bee Busters?
Yeah.
Now, Craig, tell me a little bit about the product, because I'm going to let you pimp this out a bit here. Tell me a little bit about your product and what you offer and what people can buy and where people can find it.
Well, we have... You can do whatever you want to with this honey. Like I said, we have witch doctors and voodoo priests that are buying it for all different types of voodoo, different things like that, spells, rituals, all kind of things. So I'm going to give you a little showing of what we have. We have four different products. So I'm going to try and hold it up to the camera here. Let me know if y'all can see this okay. See?
Perfect.
This is our label right here.
I love
that. That's our emblem. And we came up with this emblem with a designer out of California. And we really love the work that she did for us with the mask on the skull and everything else. We wanted to put a mask on it to date when the product actually debuted. Because everybody for the rest of their lives are going to remember this time of year.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to remember this time of their lives where, you know, the Great Depression kind of thing, everybody's going to remember COVID. So until it's all over and until the younger generation, the 2-3-year-olds that don't know anything yet, well, they're going to remember this. And this is another little jar we have. This is what we call a muth jar. This is the old time jar. Must flip it around. I don't know if y'all can see it. It's embossed on it. I don't know if you can read that. It says 4 ounces of pure honey, and it's got a little beehive on it. And what that is, this is the old time jar in the 1800s that was specifically for honey. So anytime you opened up a cabinet in the old days, and you saw this jar, there was honey in it. That was it. And sometimes we get lucky, and I'm going to flip this over twice, but sometimes we get lucky and we get cut comb out of the beehives. This is a 4-inch by 4-inch comb that's honeycomb front and back. And if you look at it really close, you can see all the cappings, the wax cappings over all the honey. You notice that little hole right about there.
Yeah.
That little hole right there. Well, that's there for a reason. That's a hole where a bee was eating out of it. Honeybees eat honey. They make their own food. So that little hole right there is there because a honeybee stuck his head in there and started having Thanksgiving dinner early. You know, and this is the last one. This is a block of beeswax. We render it down and we put it inside of a mold. And that's all this is. This is a pure pound of beeswax that's come out of the cemeteries. And it never goes bad. We use it for different candles, things like that. And like I said, people use it to when witches cast spells, things like that. I've heard that they dip it inside of the wax to seal the spell in. Not my words. If I'm messing something up, I apologize. But they got a lot more people that know more about this than me. But we've heard from a lot of our customers that they've actually sought us out back in order to tell us how great of an experience that they've had with this, and you know, how it's so nice to have this because it's a one of a kind thing, and you don't really know, I guess you say, how it would work. Or how well it would work since nobody's ever had this before. But we've been told that the energies from this honey and these products are off the charts, you know? And so like I said, again, not my words, and I'm not sure what off the charts means, but we've been told that they have a lot of different success with what they're doing and their purposeful. We had a voodoo priest down here that wanted to feed the dead with his honey. So he actually bought it to feed his ancestors is what he called it. And he does a lot of root work.
Yeah.
So other than that, like I said, that means more to you than it does to me. I'm still learning with all of this. I don't claim to be an expert, but I am learning as I go along with the spiritual realm and everything else.
Well, you have a friend in us, Craig, and you definitely have a friend in our friends in our fans here. A lot of people are saying they want to order ASAP here, Craig. So where can people find your product at and they can buy it? And by the way, guys, we don't have an affiliation. So, Craig, we're doing this, you know, so order your honey.
Yeah. Well, right now it's a little bit technical and old fashioned, but the old-fashioned way is we're taking orders over our Facebook Messenger. The name of the company is Bee Guys, two words, guys with a Z, Bee Guys LLC. And if you go on our Facebook page, you can see all of the products. Our Facebook page is littered with this. You can see all the products that we offer, and you send us a message with what you want, your shipping address, and different things like that. Once you go to the Facebook page, you'll understand it, and you'll see what we need. And you shoot us over a message, and what we'll do is we'll calculate what you want, send it off to you, ship it off to you the next day, and you'll have your haunted products.
Are you accepting PayPal?
Vamping the website right now, and the website is being integrated with an online store.
Sure.
Because we do sell regular honey as well, but we never really went, I guess you say, worldwide with that. That's just a more of a local type of thing, but. It from October 1st to October 11th, we had over 500,000 views just for a simple click of a mouse on our first post. And we've had several million views ever since then.
Craig, are you accepting PayPal as payment if somebody reached out to you via Facebook? Is that how people are doing payment options?
Yes. Generally, when we send out a message to anybody, we accept PayPal, we accept Cash App. Or you can call us in and we can run a credit or debit card over the phone in the office.
Okay.
And we can do it that way if that's what people choose. But there's multiple different payment methods that you can do. We've even had people send checks to us, you know, and either way we can get it done. All you got to do is contact us and get a hold of us and we'll get you your order out. We've got people ordering, I mean, unbelievable amounts of different items. I mean, some people want one of each. And these little mouth jars like this, like I was showing you, I can't tell you how many people have these on their altars and different things like that. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they do with it. And we've got pictures of people with candles and everything else on their altars with the haunted honey there. I mean, it's a real nice piece to have because it's a one of a kind, dare I call it a novelty, but it's like, it's a one of a kind product that you will not find anywhere else in the world.
Now, podcast fans, I'll have the link to Craig's store in the notes below. Live fans, Count Panic, can we get a link over?
We tagged the page there.
It's in the episode description.
I do have a question, though, for Craig here, Bob.
Yep.
Craig, we were talking over the phone a little bit there. Of course, you get these this honey from cemeteries, haunted honey, of course. Have you ever had any experiences in some of these cemeteries that you would say a little eerie, a little spooky? Anything ever like that there, Craig?
Very much so, very much so. Like I said before, I'm not sure how much you know about New Orleans, but we have an entire industry of tours down here. We're a big tourism street. Aside from Bourbon Street, we're a big tourism city. But the haunted cemeteries down here, there's haunted everything cemetery tours. People from all around the world come down here. And yes, to answer your question, we can't divulge the names of the cemeteries where things happen like this or anything else. But either way, you can always take a very good guess and you're probably close. Anyway, yes, there was one time that sticks out in the back of my mind, that I was working by myself. And mind you, we do all of this work at nighttime when all of the bees are back home. So it doesn't matter cemetery or two-story house. We're doing the bee removal actually hands-on at nighttime. So there's nobody in a cemetery at nighttime. So when I go into a cemetery at night, I'm pretty much the only living thing there, besides maybe a coyote or two. So you don't really look to have too many sounds or anything else. It's just you and what you're doing. And we run a generator for power when we're out there because there's no power. You're just in the middle of all different types of tombs. So it's very lonely, very quiet. Anyway, it was a cool, calm night that I was removing some bees, probably a 5-foot nest out of this particular tomb. And what ended up happening was I needed something from my truck. So I finished what I was doing, still had bees on me. I walked back to my truck. And as I passed this particular grave, I didn't notice it at first, but as I passed this particular grave, I had that feeling of somebody's behind you, you better look. And I don't get that feeling. I'm not an afraid of the dark type person or anything else. And if I was, I wouldn't be in a cemetery around 10 o'clock at night by myself, you know? So, but I had that feeling of turn around and look, and it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And, like I said, it was a calm night, and I walked a few more feet. I had a little gust of wind that came over the back of my neck right here, and that was enough to eerie me out a little bit. But anyway, like I said, I'm not a fanatic about anything. I went to the truck. I got what I needed, and I went back to working on the grave. Probably another 20 minutes went by, and I needed something else. I ran out of something. I think I had to go refuel my smoker. Yeah, that's what it was. And as I walked back, I had the exact same thing happen. I had that feeling and I had that gush of air over the back of my right shoulder. And as I looked, I was at the same spot. I was pretty much at the same spot where it happened before. So this got me looking at the bushes and the trees. I was trying to see, where did this little wind come from? I'm trying to debunk it. I'm trying to say, this isn't real. What's going on? And there was nothing. It was very, very calm. But I mean, there's nothing really else that happened. But that's enough to tell me that something was there, because that's never happened to me again or since.
Now, Craig, back in October, we did a big fundraiser for the Louisiana efforts with the Louisiana Ghostbusters and whatnot. We were raising money here for Bob After Dark for the hurricane relief fund, and I got a question for you because we're very knowledgeable about Louisiana because we were doing the money raising and etc. for the hurricane relief. Have you ever had an experience with a Rougarou?
No, I can't say I have.
I like to bring that up to local people when I talk to Louisiana folk. I'm like, what do you know about the Rougarou?
Yeah, not many people know about that, but I don't really come across that too often. I stick to the honeybees.
Fair enough. Craig, it was really nice to have you on the show, and we're really excited to be trying your product on here, because we're gonna get some and be able to share our experiences, and I think we're going to buy some for some metaphysical properties as well, because I think that'll be a good thing.
That's great. We're all stocked up right now. We just got I want to say a new shipment, but we got a new order of honeycomb in probably, what was it, 3 nights ago. So we're stocked up on honeycomb right now, which is it's a temporary product. Once people know we have it, it goes extremely quick, and you don't get it every day. So it's one of our more limited products. But besides that, everything's in stock right now. Anybody can order at any time, day or night, any time zone. We shipped to 12 different countries so far. We ship throughout the United States, to Greenland, Germany, Australia, Canada. And we have a couple stores, both domestically and internationally, that wholesale our product.
That's great. Folks, reach out to the Bee Guys. Reach out to Craig. Tell them Bob from Bob After Dark sent you. Go buy yourself some honey. And Craig, thank you so much. And keep living the American dream. You know, people like you are what's helping rebuild the world right now with these small businesses. Hats off to you. And thanks for keeping paranormal products out there as well. That's great.
Well, thank you for having me on. And thank y'all for raising money to help us out down here.
Absolutely.
I tell you what, those hurricanes, they hit us pretty hard, and they hit us often. Especially last year.
Yeah. Well, we love Louisiana's got a special place in our hearts here. And it's funny how it always goes back to Louisiana and New Orleans here, Count. It always comes back to New Orleans.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Craig. And guys, like I said, we could check Craig out on the Bee Guys. I just linked it in the chat. Podcast listeners, it's going to be in the show description below. Follow them, buy your honey, and tell them Bob sent you.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Absolutely. Count, let's take a quick little break. Folks, for our podcast fans at home, stick around, because you're going to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. And for our live fans, just stick around for a few seconds for some nice dead air and listening to me drink water.
Are you a daily practitioner of the craft? Perhaps a weekly or monthly practitioner? Are you a lazy witch like me? Are you still in the broom closet? Well then, please allow me to welcome you to the Dragon's Inn, your podcast for witchcraft, the metaphysical, and folklore. Folks from all walks of life are welcome. The Dragon's Inn, every other Saturday, available where podcasts are downloaded.
And we're back.
Wow.
Hi, Count.
Hey, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
Oh, you know, I was trying to find some honey, Bob, but I think Craig has it all on lock. And what a great interview, Bob. That's
good job. Good job on getting it.
I need to get some of that honey, Bob.
I think we should.
We should.
We should get some honey.
I'm going to contact them right now.
We're going to get some honey.
Okay.
I want some honey.
Are you a big honey guy? See, here's the thing.
I like honey with you.
I do like honey
tea.
A lot.
I'll do the hot tea, and I'll put honey with my hot tea.
But here's the thing, Bob. I feel like with something like this, I got to keep some of it.
That's a
Can you use that, I wonder? I mean, of course it's good honey, but I feel like I have to buy an extra one just to have on storage.
I'd say so. And in a metaphysical practices, it makes sense what he's saying. You're collecting honey from a sacred place. There's an energy footprint there. And New Orleans is no stranger to very haunted cemeteries. So there's probably energy attached to something like honey. And honey is a natural thing that people use in spell work. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to hear things like that, just like people use salt water from a specific part of the world whatever, it's not uncommon for somebody to use something like that in their metaphysical practices. That's great. Good job on getting that interview, and best of luck to Craig.
He's doing a great job out there.
That's
in New
amazing.
Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get some honey. I think I want one of each. I think I'm going to buy me a brick of the beeswax. I don't know what you do with a honeycomb, but it looks cool. Maybe I just save it for the display of it.
And he's the only one doing this stuff. I mean,
haunted honey. Never.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk?
Cemeteries have honey.
Absolutely.
How about honey mustard?
Not a fan of mustard. Okay. I'll just take the honey.
Okay, good.
Honey on a biscuit.
Yeah, honey.
On...
Oh, Biscuits and honey are good.
Yeah, or you just toss it into the hot tea.
Yes.
That would make me as happy
as a shot of honey.
Yeah.
Oh, but before we go any further, Bob, I'm going to forget this. I got to think.
You got to think.
I got to thank somebody.
Who do you got to
Your
think?
Dad.
Oh, yeah.
He made some halushki.
Halushki.
Halushki. Yes. Well, I'm Polish. I pronounce it a little differently.
I'm Polish. Excuse me?
I know. I know you're Polish, too. But I would be it would be unforgivable to thank him during the show. So thank you, Mr. Anderson. And I will deliver this back to the Panic household. I appreciate that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Had to get that out of the way.
Huh.
But he's not making honey.
No.
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 That's Craig.
That's Craig.
Yes.
All right. If this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we're the weekly paranormal show that talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural. We cover everything from lights in the sky to weird bumps in the night, cryptid sightings, and various other things. We cover weird, spooky news stories where we talk about things that we find in the world of news that relates back to the paranormal, weird advances in science, that borderlines on science fiction, anything weird and out there. Most of the time, it's you, the fans, who are sending these in, so we thank you guys so much for doing that. And that's where we're going to start before we get into the lore of the week. My first actual article comes to me from myself. I found this
what?
One. Yeah.
You can't do that.
I did.
It's Can
from,
you?
This is okay. From The Bite.
All right.
Now, for fans of the show and the fans of the longtime show, know that there are two things in the world that scare me. I'm assuming you know that the dolls are the big one, right? I don't like dolls.
You hate them.
I hate
despise them.
My second biggest fear, and this might be something you only pick up on if you pay attention. Count, do you know my second biggest fear?
I think you just mentioned this recently, too, as well. Oh, robots, artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence. Yeah. It's not last week. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Sophia AI that wants to be taking care of COVID patients and taking care of the elderly in a safe way because the AI can't contract COVID. I understand the medicine benefits behind that and the psychological benefits behind that, but I don't. AI scare me.
Yeah, it's creepy.
This story comes to us from The Bite, and it's actually from Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Doing big things
Papa,
out there.
Papa Elon taking us to the moon in the stonk world.
To the moon.
To the moon. I'll let you talk about that here. I'll let you pitch your new show.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. All right, so Elon Musk says that the Neuralink has a monkey playing video games with its mind. We have a monkey with a wireless implant in their skull with tiny wires who can play video games with his mind. During an appearance this was a couple days ago, so reading this word from The Bite. During an appearance last night on the app Clubhouse, Neuralink co-founder Elon Musk said that the brain-computer interface startup has implanted a monkey with a device that allows it to play video games with its mind. We have a monkey with a wireless implant in their skull with tiny wires who can play video games with its mind, Musk said during the appearance, according to the transcript. The claim provides a new sense of momentum for Neuralink, which has been quiet since its revealed experimental devices had it implanted in pigs late last summer. As he did the pig event, Musk emphasized the well-being of the animal. You can't see where the implant is, and he's a very happy monkey, he said during the event. We have the nicest monkey facilities in the world, and we want them to play mind pong with each other. Mm. It's still unclear how long it might be until the device is mature enough for human users, and of course, that's assuming it succeeds at all. Musk remarks about a human version of the Neuralink during the event were hard pars and open to interpretation. There are primitive versions of this device with wires sticking out of your head, but it's like the Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires that go to your brain, he said, according to the transcript. So it's this neuro interface that's going to be shoving computers in our mind, which then just proceeds to open me up from attacks from the artificial intelligence. It's kind of cool that they're letting these monkeys, play mind pong with each other.
Yeah.
And even more beneficial, hats off to Papa Elon there for talking about the animal cruelty-free that they're supposedly performing, which is great. I want to believe him that they're not, really hurting the animals during this process. So hats off to them for that. Hashtag panic.
You know
stick.
What? Elon Musk gets a lot of hate, I know, sometimes in the news, but you can't say all you want about him, but he does some pretty productive things here.
He's an interesting cat.
Yeah.
That guy's got his hands in everything.
Space travels and everything. And then, of course, it's great. When you can have animals participate in a way that's not harming them, I think that's fantastic. It seems like they got a lock on this. So if they could help us out with any, investigation and as far as maybe moving science along here. That's fantastic. As long as they're not being harmed, I'm all for this.
We're getting closer to our cyberpunk reality.
Yes, we are.
I'm okay with high collars, neon lights. I'm all about it, but I don't know, man. There's a certain level to things. But look, if this is a way that will help medicine along, I could see the benefits. Just being able to get to a computer by thinking about it, that's, I don't know, man.
Crazy.
It's a weird world.
He's
we
doing
in.
A lot of stuff. And of course, he's big in the crypto world, I guess. I know it's not paranormal, but, you know, we just,
we'll talk. You'll get talk. Let me get through the news articles. We'll talk about your new
sure.
show you
okay.
got going on. This next story was sent to us from a fan. It was actually originally brought up in the world of Coast to Coast Radio, but this was actually shared on TMZ, of all places. I would have never thought in a million years I'd have a news article from TMZ, but clear shots of the mothership on the outskirts of L.A. Got another UFO sightings in L.A., and this one stands alone as it offers the best clear shots of what appears, and I'll share the pictures on the page. This is one of the clearest photos of a UFO I have ever seen. Typically, it's pretty blurry, or you can really see where it might be faked or something else, but this is clear shot, you know, a clear picture. The eyewitnesses took three consecutive photos as quickly as she could, and as you can see, the unidentified object appears to have changed positions, both tilting ever so slightly and moving to a new spot in the sky. It was basically seen for a few seconds before it vanished in the thin air, and these photos are insane. A graphic artist tried an experiment with stock images of glowing discs to try to recreate the image, and they weren't able to do it, and they were saying it was hard to cut and paste these images. Long story short, the graphic artist that TMZ hired to try to debunk this with, you know, Photoshop stuff where it wasn't able to replicate. Hashtag panic steak.
That's insane as well. You know, aliens are a weird thing. It's like kind of like the Bigfoot photos you see out there. There's never a clear photo of Bigfoot, but I don't think I saw this one. So
I
want to see this UFO thing. And I know in the beginning of March, we're going to have a special episode.
We are, yep.
With some folks from the Challenger Learning Center. They're going to come on, Laura and Emma.
We're going to be talking about paranormal stories from space.
We'll be talking a lot about this as well. So I want to see this photo, but you know, I'm a believer, Bob. I have an open mind here, and UFOs. I know Steve came on and shared his stories.
We had a Bob Lazar episode last year.
Yeah. So to see this, more
this
pictures.
This is the clearest image I have ever seen of a UFO. That looks credible.
Yeah, because a lot of times you see these photos and they're grainy.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, is that really it? Is it not? We can't really tell. But this photo, I mean, this is something fantastic here, Bob.
I am not a UFOologist, folks.
No.
I dabble and it interests me, but I'm a paranormal guy and I deal with cryptid zoology.
Yeah.
Like, those are my bread and butter.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the UFO folk, we hang out in the same bowling team, but we don't, you know.
No.
I don't know. And there's a lot of crossover, just like true crime.
Yes.
There's a lot of crossover, but I feel like it runs in a very parallel line sometimes. I dabble in that stuff. I find it fascinating, but it's not something these UFO people really go out of their way to know everything about their field, and that's impressive.
But, Bob, I want to believe.
You want to believe. We need a – I've always wanted that poster. And
it's out there. I got a shirt, actually.
I've seen
you
wear it.
Yeah.
We have a caller.
We do have a caller. We have a John on the line.
John, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going tonight, Bob?
It's going good, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, you mentioned Elon Musk. Did you see that story about this billionaire who wants to go orbit the space on a 3 or 4 day orbit in one of his SpaceX capsules?
I've seen that. He's looking at in the next 10 years that they're going to be offering family vacations to orbit the Earth within the next 10 years.
No. This is supposed to be happening, I guess, in October. What this is, from what I understand, it's a fundraiser for St. Jude Hospital, and he wants to raise $200 million, and he's got three people right now that paid $55 million to go on this trip with them, and one space he's offering for free, and that is to a former cancer patient at St. Jude, and there's another spot where you could enter to go on as a raffle. No strings attached. You don't have to, you know, you could donate something to St. Jude's Hospital if you want. But other than that, it's just a raffle like anything else. And if you win, if you're a lucky winner, you get to go in space. So my question is, would you enter that raffle?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. I, seeing the Earth from that perspective, I think would be probably the most breathtaking sight in the entire existence. So I would say I would absolutely. I, and John, to credit your point, if I had $55 million, I'm gonna go to space too. the thing I was referring to, I guess this is like their test to launch this concept that you can just take a vacation into orbit, which is interesting. What a time we live in, John.
I don't know anything further than what you said. I didn't research this too much, but supposedly, you know, this is supposed to happen, you know, next October or something, from what I read, you know. But I don't, quote me on that. But I just want to see what your take was on it. If you had a chance to go, if you would enter that raffle.
Oh, yeah.
Now you know Elon Musk had a couple of those things that blew up out there. So
yeah, you gotta test that stuff out.
Unfortunately, that's.
Of course, you could go in the car and get hit.
I would still do it. Would you, John?
I would have to think about it. I would have to think about it a little bit.
But John, before you go, the creator of Bob After Dark, self-proclaimed, made some halushki for you and the Calton here, so we're sending you home with that.
You know what, Dallum? I heard that, my mouth's watering, and you know, I'm always thinking about him. So you know, he's been always a good friend of mine. So Dallum, thank you.
Absolutely. All right, John. Thanks for calling in.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Now, folks, our phone lines are open for our podcast fans. We're typically live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. So our podcast fans, if you want to call ahead and hear your voice on the show after the fact, you're welcome to do it. Or if you're a fan of the live show and don't listen to the podcast, you can always call in. Our phone number is 219-845-1100. Give us a call. We want to hear your perspective on any of the stories we're sharing, any paranormal experiences you've had. It's an open line.
Now, Bob,
skeptics welcome.
Of course. Now, Bob, we're talking about the space travel there for a second.
Yeah.
You know, there was a story a few years back. If you go to Mars, you go there, of course, but you can't come back. How do you feel about not coming back there?
I'm not going to Mars.
But what if you had the option there, Bob?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'll stay here.
You're going to stay here.
I'm going to go down with the sinking ship here.
The first podcast on Mars.
That's fine. I'll be the first podcast in orbit, unless maybe the ISS has like a podcast that they
maybe, yeah.
It's very possible. Sure. If anybody knows that, let me know. But I'm sure. But I want to be the first podcast from space.
That'd be a big
first
one.
The first, yeah, that'd be cool.
But there was radio signals in space one time, so it could have been us.
It could have been us.
Yeah.
ISS, if you're listening to Bob After Dark right now, we're happy to have you.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to the third story.
Okay.
Folks, to the viewer that shared that story with me, I apologize. I normally like to give you guys shout-outs on that, but it has gone missing, whoever shared that article
okay.
with me. So I do apologize. If you are the fan who shared that, please let me know. I would like to give you credit. This final story is actually coming to us from our friend Jack. Jack, the late-night caller.
Jack, of course.
Jack calls.
We look up
Jack will
right
call
now.
Like 12 o'clock in the morning. I'm like dying, falling asleep, and Jack will call and drop some knowledge. But Jack runs a paranormal news Facebook page. I'll link that in the description notes so you guys can check that out. Jack will share the news that'll pop up every now and then. I don't like to steal his thunder, so I don't like to take his articles, really, because that's Jack's research. He finds them himself. And Jack is a dear friend, one of the best investigators I've ever worked on, and probably one of the best historians I've ever worked with. I don't like to rain on Jack's parade, but I did steal this one. So, Jack, I'm sorry I'm stealing your story, but and I know you didn't send it to me directly, but neener. So this story comes to us from the Daily Star in the UK, and word from word, horrified dog food factory worker saw a 7-foot telepathic alien mantis while riding their bike home.
Okay. All right.
All right. Paul Froggatt, that's Froggatt, age 26, has sketched the ET he claims he saw and linked its pure alien hatred towards him while watching a spider eating a fly on the David Anthroboro show. A cyclist said he fled from an evil 7-foot-tall alien mantis and has drawn a picture of it of the bizarre creature for the Daily Star. And he talked about it on this David Anthroboro documentary. Mm-hmm. But the shaggy hair warehouse worker insisted that he was not on booze and drugs when he shared the sketch. He told about how he fled after stumbling across the creature as he cycled home through woodland in Warwick. Paul said, "It sounds crazy, but I felt like it sensed its feelings towards me, and it was just pure alien hatred." You know, when you're watching a David Anthroboro documentary and you see a spider eating a fly and just malevolent sense of evil, I guess. This I'll share the image up on the page, but this thing is literally just a mantis.
Wow.
There's nothing special about it. It's just this mantis that's telepathic that just gave this guy a sense of evil.
Hmm.
And let me just quote this directly. Pure alien hatred is the feeling that this mantis sent over.
Well, here's the thing, Bob. Is it my take?
Thanks. I sense the skeptical sigh you're coming from your mouth.
No, not at all.
You're not believing this.
I believe it, but here's the thing. And as you mentioned before, whenever you're doing investigation or anything like that, you should be a clear mind.
Yes.
Correct? So there's some. I don't know. Maybe would you say some skepticism here about whether he was in the clear mind or not?
Apparently, he just got off of work, and I hope if he's making dog food that he's in the clear mind, because I don't want my dogs eating bad things.
Why note the headline too? Kind of demeaning. I mean, the guy is a hardworking guy right here. They say he's making dog food. That's a good job. I mean,
it's a job.
Dogs need food, and
it's a job. So people need jobs.
I think sometimes when you put that in the headline, you try to make them wacky, like.
All that wacky dog food work.
Yeah, because it could have said just a worker, an all-American worker.
I think
out
that's the journalist in you coming out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what does his job description have to do with the story?
That's fair.
I mean,
he's just a worker.
He's just, and I believe his story, Bob. So
you believe in the 7-foot-tall mantis,
Bob,
that was causing pure hatred,
Bob?
Pure alien hatred,
Bob. Who am I not to believe?
That's fun. You want to believe? We were just
I want
talking
to believe, Bob. Yes. So I believe in it, Bob. I believe in it.
Dead air. I was gonna sneeze. I was trying to get the hand motions to keep talking.
I didn't know what that meant, Bob.
Good job.
I can turn off your mic if you need to sneeze, though.
No, it's fine. The sneeze is gone now. I was trying to give you the keep talking. My hand motion.
You were pointing at the air. I didn't know what was going on.
Because I was trying to get you to notice me, and I was giving.
So
you
now
the
I know
motion.
For now on when that you point your hands.
You know
to the
what?
Sky.
Editor's note. I'm not even gonna edit that out. You're gonna listen to
it's
that.
Funny.
You're gonna listen to that failure.
It's
right
funny.
There.
It's funny. But Bob, who am I to disbelieve with this gentleman here? So
you know what? Listen, we had the Mantis Man story recently right here in Rosemont.
Yes.
There was the Mantis Man that the two witches found out when they were doing their ritual. And it just so happens that there's another mantis.
Yeah.
So maybe they're invading.
Yeah. No, you know, that's the thing. The guy does a great job. He's serving our pets of the nation. So he saw it. He saw it. Again, I need proof that he didn't see it. So. There might be a giant mantis out there.
Chris Rios, I could chime into the chat once in a while.
These
days I'm really busy, so I can't look at the chat as much. But Chris chimed in and said, "Is Dracula called in anymore?" No. I don't think I can handle another Count Dracula phone call because I would be laughing hysterically and Count would have to take over. I think Dracula calls when Dracula feels like calling.
Yeah.
And food for thought, folks that know that reference, I still don't know who that is.
No.
He does a good job, though.
Yeah, he does. Great job.
We have a paranormal story.
We do.
A viewer's paranormal experience. We haven't gotten one of these in a while, folks. I'm going to yell at you here in just a second. This one's actually not like a fan writing. Well, he is a fan, but it's Steve. Steve wrote me. And Steve, if you guys don't know, Steve is my on-again, off-again co-host. He's busy with his professional wrestling career. He's actually wrestling tonight or just finishing up.
Hope he wins.
Hope he wins. I don't know what he's working tonight, but either way, Ohio Valley Wrestling Steve's one of my best friends. He's my brother. I love that man a lot. But I digress. So Steve sent this in. And Steve is a paranormal investigator on top of being a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. And Steve's very, he's a hopeful skeptic. And Steve's job in paranormal investigations is he's the debunker. He wants to try to recreate things. So when Steve comes to me with a paranormal experience that he had, I have to take him serious. So Steve says, and I'm going to be reading this word from word, Bob, by the way, Steve gave me 100% okay to share this story because there was a follow-up. Bob, I just had something really weird happen. I have a Funko Pop of the Tick, you filthy spawn, sitting on top of a Curo cabinet. Tonight, as I was walking past the cabinet, I tripped over tripped, and the figure literally flew across the room, like a good 10 to 15 feet into the front door. I walk past there daily, and there's never a figure that falls. I've had delivery men in and out of the house walk past it, and it never falls. It's right by the entryway, so it's a high traffic area. It's never fallen, let alone fly across the room. Like, I literally saw it launch out of the corner of my eye. I've never experienced anything odd in the house except immediately after my dad passed. You know how I am, so I tried to recreate it, but I could never get it anywhere close to the distance it landed unless there was a significant force used. I don't really have an explanation for this. And he continues, I always try to find rational explanations, but I'm extremely perplexed. I may end up taking a shower and staying up tonight. Since this is in your wheelhouse, I just wanted to let you know I am definitely weirded out. Not typed out here is Steve and I were on the phone. I called him right after it happened, and he shared a little bit more with me. He was saying trying to recreate it. He stomped on the area in front of that cabinet. He slapped the cabinet to see if that figure would fall, and he said the only way he can recreate it falling is if he shook it violently. And he said even then it would just fall, so it wouldn't launch itself. But he said in this case the Tick figure physically launched 10 feet. Steve said he ended up picking up the Tick figure and threw it to see how hard it would have to take to get it to go to the distance that the Tick figure fell off the cabinet. He said he had to throw it with some force behind it to actually physically to go that far. And here's the follow-up. Bob, do you know where I found that post? Steve shared a poster he found of an old wrestling promotional poster. And he said, Bob, do you know where I found that poster? Behind the case where the Tick flew off. I've looked behind that cabinet so many times and have never seen this poster before. I think the Tick flying off the cabinet was my dad telling me to check out the cabinet itself. It makes sense because I just cleared out a room to make an office, and it was like my dad saying, hey, check this out. Now you can properly display this.
Interesting.
So, Steve, thank you so much for sharing that story. We appreciate that. And it's an interesting story. And Steve's a very straightforward guy. I've been on investigations with him. I'm going on another one with him in a couple weeks. We are, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, Little Red Schoolhouse. Steve's very straightforward with things. He knows his stuff. He gets through it, and he tries to find the logical explanation. But it just so happened that Steve tried to set up an office, and he found a poster that needed to be properly displayed, something from his dad. And that's an interesting story for sure.
Not more to say for me than a lovely story, I would say, Bob. A very touching story. So.
Absolutely.
And the Tick.
The Tick.
I forgot about the Tick.
You filthy spawn. Faced the Tick.
Tick was fantastic.
Boom.
Yes.
Now, Count. You know what I want people to do?
What's that, Bob?
I want them to share their paranormal experience with us. Experiences with us.
How can they do that?
You can reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/BobAfterDark. You could slide into the DMs on Instagram at BobAfterDark. Or you can email us, bobafterdarkshow@gmail.com. Mm. So I want to hear your paranormal experiences so I can share them live on the show. We haven't had any in a while, and Steve sent one in. So
perfect.
We want to hear these. Send us in. Send those stories in, guys. I want to hear them.
Yes.
And Count Panic, are you ready for a toast?
Wait, Bob. No, I'm not ready. Here, keep talking. I'm going to get a cup.
All right. Hurry it up. So we actually have a 5-star review on Apple, and this is something new that we're doing on the show where we're not new. We've been doing it for a little bit. Every time we get a five-star review on the Apple Podcast, we toast the people that leave these five-star reviews. And Count Panic has rushed from one room to the next to get himself a cup to toast with. I think he's filling it up as we speak. But anyway, the more reviews you guys leave, and especially on Apple, which is arguably the second biggest podcast host there is, the more reviews on there we get, the better. The more recognition we get and the more traffic we get to the show, because the better the positive reviews, the better. And it also helps that we just had to relaunch the, you know, the Apple Podcast version of the show. So all of our old reviews are now gone. So I'm once again here asking you for more five-star reviews. Geez. So this one comes to us. I'm not familiar, but it's from ghostlypodcast.com.
Oh, okay. I heard of them.
Oh, and it's titled, One of My Favorites. I love Bob After Dark. Bob is an awesome host. He always finds the most interesting topics and covers them completely. I'm more of a skeptic, but love hearing paranormal tales. He's got that covered. I'm a listener for life. I joke about the ghostlypodcast.com, not really knowing who they are. Pat and Rebecca run my favorite show outside of my own. They do a great paranormal podcast I recommend everybody check out. But Pat and Rebecca, well, specifically Pat, because he's the one that wrote this, but it's Ghostly Podcast, so Rebecca gets credit too. Pat and Rebecca, here's the cheers to you from Bob After Dark to Ghostly. Thank you for the five-star review.
There you have it. Me as well.
Absolutely.
So I had to run all the way for that cup there, Bob. So they deserve it.
Thank you guys so much for the five-star review. Do you want to be toasted by Count Panic and myself on the show? Leave a five-star review, applepodcasts.com, Bob After Dark. Even if you don't listen to us on Apple Podcasts, go on there and leave a review nonetheless.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Very important.
Very important. So get your reviews in there. Count, we're going to do something a little different tonight.
Oh,
we're going to take a quick break.
Second break.
We have to, because I got to split the episode up.
All right.
So you guys get two podcast viewers. Stick around. You're going to hear from a show that you need to be listening to. And live viewers, just hang in there a quick second, because we have to split the show up. We had the interview earlier, so hang in there.
Join myself, Kitsy Duncan, and my co-host Nick Floyd every week as we talk about all things weird, paranormal, and what might be an unhealthy obsession with Bigfoot. We're not here to creep you out. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Find the award-winning, sometimes hilarious, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes a hot mess, Oddity Files, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Wow.
What'd you do during second break?
You know, Bob, I was so stunned that there was a second break, I just sat here. Two breaks.
Two breaks.
Unbelievable.
I had to split it up.
I hear you.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I don't really have a bit for this.
We're only good enough for one.
Like, you get one good bit. I don't do the two breaks. Not something I do typical on the show either.
Got to improv. But wait.
Improv comes in threes, you know.
I got to say.
Yeah.
I guess this would be a good time.
Uh-huh.
I got to plug the other thing.
Yeah, you can plug it. Okay. That's great. Well,
I was thinking about my plug.
You can plug it.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, Bob, of course, a friend of the show, Chuck Pullen.
Yeah.
He's been on the show before, Pete Greist.
Yes.
Chuck, big into the paranormal world. Well, Chuck has a new show here on the local radio station. You may be listening to WJOB AM 1230, 104.7 FM, or on JetTV.com. We have a little thing called the Stonk Market Observer. Now, as you know, Bob, there's a whole new fascination with stocks, as we call them stonks.
Stonks.
So Chuck planned the show. I'm on the show as well, but I come in speaking for the rest of America, not knowing what's going on at all.
Yeah.
Zero knowledge whatsoever of stonks. I'm there. Chuck has a little more knowledge in stonks, so he kind of guides me along in the world of stonks. It's on every other Monday at 5 p.m. Central. Again, you can watch it on JetTV.com. Or the TuneIn app if you're listening live. But the Stonk Market Observer, kind of guiding people through the world of stonks. A lot of beginners listen to it, and it's a great show.
It's not a paranormal show, folks.
It's not a paranormal show, but if people want to tune into it, it's on JetTV.com if you want to watch it, the Stonk Market Observer. And we're learning day by day, but Chuck Pullen, a friend of the show, we have to give him a shout-out.
Absolutely.
Loves
and
the
I like to support any project you're doing outside of Bob After Dark.
Thank
anyway,
you.
Panic in the Region, all that good
stonks,
jazz.
Bob.
Stonks.
And remember, folks, stonks only go up.
That's not true.
Oh, okay.
Panic, we're in February.
Yes, we are.
And you know what February means here at Bob After Dark?
Love.
Yes. The Sunday's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job.
What else?
It is Creepypasta Month.
Creepypasta.
Creepypasta okay. Month. And Creepypasta Month is the whole month of February is dedicated to us talking about those online paranormal stories that are creating the foundation for modern lore to be talked about in mm-hmm. future generations.
Yeah.
Last year was the first year we tried it, and it was a big success. We talked about like Slender Man and the 11 Mile Road and Robert the Doll. This month, we're picking out some good ones, we're picking out some bad ones, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. And my inaugural episode for the month of 2020, the Creepypasta Month 2021, is we're going to be talking about a video game. Do you play video games, Cal?
You know, Bob, the last video game I played was Frogger.
Uh-huh.
Not back in the day. I do like video games, but I'm kind of old school when it comes to video games. So Pac-Man, Frogger, Super Mario. I don't play a lot of the newer.
You're in luck.
Oh, I am.
Because
okay.
This episode is about an older video game.
What is it?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I love Sonic the Hedgehog.
You know, I dabble in the world of video games.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to be doing a Bob After Dark Plays a Twitch stream. We're going to try every Twitch. Other week. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks.
Perfect.
There's a new game where I'm playing with some friends called Phasmophobia, which is a paranormal investigation cooperative video game. It's a blast. So we're going to be playing things like that. Something we're going to dabble in 2021. We're not talking about it too much yet. But so the world of video games, I play them. I grew up in the world of video games. That's initially where I started my online presence was video game reviews before we started doing Bob After Dark. And, there's a whole subculture of creepypastas about video games. And so this for our inaugural episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about Sonic.exe. And
okay.
This is a classic, classic creepypasta that's gotten retold many times, and they actually made the port of the video game about it. I'm going to be reading the story word for word. And we're going to get you to kind of give us your input on it. Did you like the story? Did you not like the story? Let me know. We'll put up a poll or something. You guys can check that out. Let me know what you guys think about this. This story is clearly fake, but it's still a creepypasta nonetheless. And you know what? If it turns out to be true and I get haunted by a haunted Sega Genesis cartridge, I guess there's worse things in the world.
Of course.
So the story is old. It's from the year 2013, and it's definitely a story. I'm going to read it word for word. This is straight from the Creepypasta Wiki. Let's begin. Are you ready, Count?
Sure.
I'm a total Sonic the Hedgehog fan, much like everyone else. Mm-hmm. I like the newer games, but I don't mind playing the classics. I don't think I've ever played a glitchy or hacked game before. Though I don't think I want to play after the experience I had. It started off as a nice summer afternoon. I was playing Sonic Unleashed. I like how you get to explore the towns in it. Until I noticed, out of my peripheral vision, that the mailman had arrived and put something in my mailbox as usual and left. I paused my game and went out to go see what was in the mail. And the only thing in the mailbox was a CD case for computers and a note. I took it inside. I looked at the note first and realized it was from my dear friend Kyle, let's just call him that, whom I haven't heard from in 2 weeks. I know that because I recognize his handwriting. Though what was weird how it looked badly written and scratchy and somewhat difficult to read, as if Kyle was having a hard time writing it down and did so in a hurry. This is what he wrote. Tom, I can't take it anymore. I had to get rid of this thing somehow before it was too late. And I was hoping you'd do it for me. I can't do it. He's after me. And if you don't destroy the CD, he'll come after you too. He's just too fast for me. Please, Tom, destroy this godforsaken disc before he comes after you too. It's too late for me. Destroy the disc and you'll destroy him. But do it quick, otherwise he'll catch you. Don't even play the game. If you want, it's what he wants. Just destroy it. Please, Kyle. Well, that was certainly weird. Even though Kyle is my best friend and I haven't seen him in 2 weeks, I didn't know what he asked me. I didn't think that a simple gaming disc would do anything bad to him. After all, it's just a game, right? Boy, was I wrong about that. Anyway, I looked at the disc and it looked like any ordinary computer CD-ROM disc, except on a black marker written on it was Sonic.exe. And it was much unlike Kyle's handwriting, meaning that he must have gotten it from somewhere else, like a pawn shop or eBay, which is where you go to buy all of your paranormal objects, folks. But that's just me jumping out of scene there. When I saw Sonic written on the CD, I was actually excited and wanted to play it, since I'm a big Sonic fan. I went up to my room and turned on the computer and put the disc in and installed the game, clearly ignoring everything that Kyle just sent you, Tom. Big mistake. When you get a possessed thing in the mail and there's a letter in it saying to destroy it, you probably should destroy it, not keep it. Moving on. When the title screen popped up, I noticed that it was the first Sonic game. And I was like, awesome, because like I said earlier, I like the classics. The first thing I noticed that was out of place when I pressed start, there was a split second when I saw the title image turned into something much different. Something that now I consider horrifying, before cutting to black. I remember what the image looked like in that split second before the game cut to black. The sky darkened and the title emblem rusted and ruined. The Sega 1991 now instead said Sega 666, and the water had turned red, like blood, except it looked hyper-realistic. Side note, what is hyper-realistic blood compared to normal blood?
I guess extra real, Bob.
Fair enough. But the freakiest thing that was in the split-second frame was Sonic. His eyes were pitch black and bleeding with two glowing red dots staring right at me, and his smile had stretched wider into the edges of his face. I was rather disturbed about the image when I saw it, though I figured that it was just a glitch and forgot about it. After it cut to black, it stayed like that for about 10 seconds or so. And another weird thing happened. The save file select from Sonic 3 popped up, and I was like, what the heck? What's this doing in the first Sonic game? Anyway, then I noticed something off. The background was dark and cloudy in the sky of the bad start of Speedway level from Sonic CD. And there was three save files. The music was that of creepy caverns of winter music from Earthbound, only it was extended and seemed to be in reverse. And the image for the save file is where you would preview the level you're on. It just read static for all three files. What freaked me out more was the character select only showed Tails, Knuckles, and to my surprise, Dr. Robotnik. Now, sure, something was up. I mean, how could you play as Robotnik in a classic Sonic game, for crying out loud? This is the part where I would just turn it off, but we continue. That's when I realized this wasn't a glitchy game. It was a hacked game. Yeah, it definitely looked hacked. It was really creepy, but as a smart gamer, clearly, I wasn't scared, or at least I tried not to be, even though he came with a cryptic letter. Sorry, folks, Mystery Science Theater, this just a little bit. I told myself that it was just a hack game and there's nothing wrong with it. Anyway, shaking off the creep feeling, I picked file 1 and chose Tail when I selected and got started. The game froze, and for about 5 seconds I heard a creepy pixelated laugh that sounded a lot like the Kefka guy from Final Fantasy before cutting to black. The screen stayed black for about 10 seconds or more, then it showed up in typical level title, except in simplistic shapes were different shades of red, and the text only showed Hill, Act 1. The screen faded in, and the level title vanished, revealing Tails in the Green Hill Zone from Sonic 1. The music was different, though. It sounded like a peaceful melody in reverse. Anyway, I started playing Tails, like start running like you would do in any of the classic Sonic games. What was odd was Tails running along the level as if there was nothing but flat ground and a few trees for 5 minutes. And that's when the peaceful music started to lower down and slow to deep tones very slowly as I kept going. I saw something I suddenly stopped and see what it was. It was the different characters from Sonic the Hedgehog on the ground, lying dead and bleeding. That's when the music started to slow down. Tails had a shocked and saddened look on his face I've never seen him have before, and I had him move along, and he kept a worried look on his face. As he kept moving, I saw more of the dead creatures from Sonic the Hedgehog. As Tails moved past them, more and more worried music lowers, and he moves past the more dead creatures. I was shocked to see how they all died. They all looked like somebody killed them in a rather gruesome ways. I felt sick to my stomach when I saw this massacre, and apparently so did Tails. After a few more seconds, there were no more animals, and the music seemed to have stopped. I still kept Tails to continue. After a minute passed and the music stopped, Tails was running up a hill and then stopped. It wasn't until I saw why. Sonic there was on the other side of the screen and his back against Tails, his eyes was closed. Tails looked happy to see Sonic, but then the smile faltered, obviously noticing that Sonic wasn't reporting to him, if not acting like he was totally oblivious to Tails' presence. Tails walked slowly towards Sonic, and I noticed that I was even moving my keyboard to make a move, so this had to be some sort of a cutscene. Suddenly, I began having the growing feeling of dread as Tails walked closer and Sonic added to his tension. I felt that Tails was in danger and something bad was going to happen. I heard faint static growing louder as Tails was only inches away from Sonic, stopped and stuck his head out to touch him. That foreboding feeling in my gut was growing stronger as I felt the urge to tell Tails to get away from Sonic as the static grew louder. Or he could just turn the game off. Suddenly, in a split second, I saw Sonic's eyes open and they were black and those red glowing dots, just like the title image. Thought there was no smile. What happened was then the screen turned black and static and the sound turned off. It stared black for about 7 seconds, oddly specific, and then a white text appeared forming the message saying, "Hello, do you want to play with me?" At this point I was creeped out and I didn't want to continue with the game, but curiosity got the better of me and I was taken to a different level of the title saying hide and seek. At this time I was on Angel Island from Sonic 3 and it looked like everything was on fire. Tails looked as though he was scared out of his wits the entire time. He actually looked at me and made frantic gestures to me as if he wanted to get out of the area he was as fast as possible. I was starting to get freaked out by this. I mean, Tails was actually breaking the fourth wall trying to tell him to get out of there. So I pressed on the arrow key as hard as I could to make him run as fast as he could. The pixelated version of that creepy theme when you meet Shadow at the Ark as Robotnik from Sonic Adventure 2 was playing. You have to really be a Sonic fan to get this story for folks. Escape from whatever he was trying to run from. Suddenly I heard that creepy laugh again. That awful Kefka laugh right from 10 seconds as I passed to help Tails run through the forest. And I started seeing flashes of Sonic popping up everywhere on the screen. Again with those black and red eyes. The music changed to a suspenseful drowning jingle as I see Sonic behind Tails slowly gaining up on him, flying. Sonic wasn't running, he was actually flying. The flying pose was the sprite taken straight from Metal Sonic from his flying pose in Sonic CD, except it was just Sonic, and he had those black and red eyes again, only. This time he had a more deranged look, grin on his face. He looked as though he was enjoying the torment as he was gaining up on the poor fox. Suddenly, Tails tripped, made a cutscene appear, and the music stopped and Sonic vanished. Tails laid there and crying for 15 seconds. The scene was rather upsetting and I watched and kind of teared up, but then Sonic appeared right in front of Tails and Tails looked up in horror. You could probably guess what happened next. I'll stay the save the mutilation, but let's just say the Tails did not survive that. The laugh came again and the screen turned to black and 10 seconds this time and the level said, "You can't run." I was really freaked out by now, and I really can't tell if this was a glitch. That's a pretty hardcore glitch there, man. Or a hack or some kind of sick, twisted joke. Or anything, really. But despite my fear of what happened next, I kept playing. Now, Kyle, would you keep playing?
I would be done by now, Bob. I feel like I was, as soon as I saw the hyperactive blood.
The hyper-realistic blood.
I was out a long time ago, Bob.
Ago. You're done.
The blood thing is the first straw, I feel like. The last straw, too.
You were done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Kyle's not even playing.
No, I mean,
at this point, I'm done. Hyper-realistic blood, I'm out.
How far can you go, Bob? How far can you go?
The next level looked so much different and had the ground of the screen, the scrap brain zone, but the sky background looked as like the main menu. It had the dark, reddish, cloudy sky. But it was at the music creeped me out the most. It sounded like Gygax's theme right after he beat Pokey in Earthbound. I also noticed that Knuckles in this round, looked afraid just like Tails did. Though not as much, he looked more unnerved. He broke the fourth wall just like Tails and looked as if he wasn't sure what was going on, but I made him move anyway. He ran down the straightaway pathway in this dark level. As he did, and the screen started to flicker red static a couple times, and then that maddening laugh came again. Then, after a few seconds of running, I noticed several bloodstains on metallic ground, and I felt a growing sense of fear again, thinking something horrible is going to happen to Knuckles. You think? He looked nauseated, walking down the blood-stained road. There's a lot of blood in this
story.
There
is, yeah.
But I still kept going. Suddenly, as Knuckles ran, Sonic appeared right in front of him with those black and red eyes, and then the red static appeared again, with the static vanished, showing nothing but a black screen with the text saying, "Found you." I was now scared. Sonic found Knuckles already? What was going on? Anyway, the red static came back again, and I was back to the level, and Knuckles looked like he was panicking, and Sonic was nowhere to be found. And at this time, a high-pitched squealing from Silent Hill's one final boss was playing. Was this some kind of boss battle with Sonic? Hope to God it wasn't, honestly. Suddenly, Sonic appeared right behind Knuckles in what appeared to be a pixelated black smoke. I made Knuckles turn and punch Sonic, but Sonic vanished in black pixelated smoke before I could even land a hit, and that terrible laugh went off again. Then Sonic appeared behind Knuckles again, and I made him punch again, and Sonic again vanished laughing. Knuckles was panicking even more now, and I felt like I was going crazy. Sonic was practically playing with us. He was playing a sick, twisted little mind game with me and Knuckles. Another cutscene played as Knuckles fell to his knees, clutching his head, sobbing, and I felt the agony. Sonic was actually driving us both crazy. Then in a split second, Sonic lunged at Knuckles and the screen went to black, another distorted screeching noise that lasted for 3 seconds. Another message appeared. So many souls to play with, so little time. Would you agree? What the heck just is going on? I started thinking that Sonic was actually trying to talk to me through the game, but I was too scared to think that. I was brought back to the main menu, and this time a second file box had Knuckles in the TV screen, his red fur darkened to a reddish gray. His dreadlocks were dripping with blood, and his eyes were black and bleeding, too. He had a sadness on his face. So, at this point, he didn't want to believe this was happening. No. So, finally, our pal Tom here decided he was going to turn off the video game. I wonder what made you do that. So, I shut off the game and took a break. I took a nap, which I hadn't, because then I began to have a disturbing nightmare. I was in the pitch-black darkness, though I was under the light given off by the lamp of a huge high above my head. I could hear the cries of Knuckles and Tails nearby, and they were saying stuff like, "Help us, why did you give us to him? Run away before he gets you too." Their cries died out as I heard Sonic laugh, and this time, it was distorted. "You're a lot of fun to play with, kid, just like your friend Kyle." Though, he didn't last long. I was scared and looking around for the source of the voice. "Won't be long now until you join him and all my other friends." I saw him walking towards me, flickering in and out in several directions. "You can't run, kid. You're in my world now, just like the others." When he grabbed me, I saw his bleeding black and red eye, grinning face, and I woke up with fright. After a couple hours, I decided to play the game. Why? Why did you decide to play the game again, Tom? You just had this, you know, prolific nightmare, like Mothman Prophecies level nightmare. Your buddy Kyle told you to destroy the disc, so what did you decide to do? He decided to play the game again. I don't know why, but I had to know. I had to figure out why this was happening. So I turned on the computer, turned on the game, and selected the Robotnik level next. I still thought it was wacky playing as Robotnik, but anyway, the level title appeared again, and this time it just said dot dot dot, which I found really freaky. Not the other stuff really freaky, but the dot dot dots. This time I was in some kind of hallway. It didn't really look like anything from its classic Sonic games, though it had a pixelated style. The floor was shiny and checkered, and the walls were dark grayish purple with animated candle lights and a few dark blood stains here and there. It was a hyper-realistic blood. And there was this dark red curtain hanging above the top part of the screen. Every 12 seconds or so, the red curtain sways very slowly, but whenever you're playing the game, you can barely see it move. The music was oddly pleasant, a piano playing a rather sad yet peaceful song, but I knew better. This was the song that played in Silent Hill, or played in Hill Act 1, only it wasn't in reverse. Robotnik didn't look entirely nervous like Tails and Knuckles did, but he did have a suspicious look on his face, and if he's just a little paranoid. He did a little animation when I left him standing. He turns his head and looks up, right and down at least twice and shrugs at me. as if he has no idea where he is or where he was, what was going on. Even though I was scared out of my mind about what was going to happen, I had Robotnik continue forward. He did his usual running animation, and we continued going through the hall. Then I stopped at a long flight of stairs leading downward, and I was nervous. Even Robotnik seemed unsure of himself, though I pressed onward. As I led Robotnik down the stairs, I noticed that the walls were getting darker and more reddish. The red torches were now an eerie blue. And we landed on another hallway. This one was longer than the last one. I headed down another flight of stairs, which was longer and it took about 1 full minute. I then heard the laugh again, and the music slowly faded until it was quiet, and the walls turned more dark red, and the torches were now a black flame now. When Robotnik landed in the third hallway, I noticed that he looked really creeped out. Though he tried to hide it, I couldn't blame him. I was scared too. Suddenly, Sonic popped right in front of Robotnik the same way he did Knuckles and then the red static. The red static lasted for 15 seconds and then showed me an unpleasant image. The image showed a hyper-realistic Sonic standing in the darkness where you can only see his face, while his head and torso faded into black. And when I say hyper-realistic, I mean he looked at you so real you can actually see the lines in his blue fur, as if you can actually feel the fur if you touched the screen. His face. Oh God, he had the most horrifying smile I've ever seen. And that's saying something, considering I saw that image at the start of the game. His eyes were wide and black once again, crying blood, which also looked hyper-realistic. And there was two small glowing red dots where his eyes were staring right at me, as if staring into my mind. His grin was wide and demonic. It literally stretched to the sides of his face like the Cheshire Cat, except Sonic had fangs. Very sharp fangs, much like the werehog teeth, except more vicious looking. Somewhat yellowish, and from the look of it, had stains of blood and small flesh, and his lips were fangs like he ate some sort of animal. I stared at the gruesome image for about 30 seconds, never taking my eyes off of it. I don't know why. After 1 minute, I'm turning that game off. After a second, I'm done, never taking my eyes off of it. I felt as if he was actually looking at me, smiling at me. That face. It just took about 10 seconds for it to etch inside its brain for good, my brain for good. Then the screen flickered with red static again 3 times, and on the 3rd time I heard that laugh, except this time it sounded more distorted, demonic even. How do you determine if a laugh is demonic? You're laughing over there, and I'm glad you did.
Is it demonic?
Distorted and demonic even. How do you make it laugh? What is a demonic laugh? Mm. It went back to the image again, except this time there was a text, though it was messed up. But it was pretty much one of the most horrifying images, horrifying things I ever saw as I have seen the game. I am God. It was when I read that message while looking at the Sonic when it hit me. I realized right then and right there and then. The Sonic was a monster, pure evil, sadistic, all-powerful, nightmarish, demented monster, and had all of his victims, including Tails, Robotnik, Knuckles, and possibly Kyle, are just his little toys, and the game is the very gateway into his chaotic, nightmarish world, and the very pain existence that his victims were trapped in. Suddenly, in a split second, I screamed as Sonic lunged at the screen, screeching loudly with his mouth open wide to an unnatural length, revealing nothing but a literal spiraling abyss of pure darkness before red static came again, this time much louder and more distorted, so it hurt my ears. I yelled and grabbed as the static screeched for a good 7 seconds. Then it stopped and showed nothing but a black screen. And as I sat there staring at the black screen, one last text came up. Ready for round 2, Tom? The laugh, now sounding more clear as if Sonic was right behind me, played 3 times as I looked at the text in shock and confusion. Then I got booted back to the main menu. This time the 3rd save file had a TV image of Robotnik in the same traumatic states of Tails and Knuckles. Robotnik's skin turned dull gray, his mustache dropped and blackened, his glasses broken, blood coming from them, coming from his eyes. Lots of blood in the eyes in this story count.
Hyperactive.
Yes, hyper-realistic.
Yeah, hyper-realistic.
I looked at Tails, Knuckles, and Robotnik, and I cried a bit. I pitied them for the agony they're going through, and they were forever trapped within the game, forever tormented by that horrid hedgehog, and always will be. Then the computer shut itself off, and I couldn't turn back no matter what I did. I sat there for maybe 25 seconds, horrified about what just happened. Sonic is the very embodiment of evil. He tortures people who play his game in more ways than one, and then he gets bored and drags you into the game. Literally drags you to that twisted universe where he can play with you, always, as his toy. I can't get the game out of my computer. I think it's stuck there, but at least I managed to turn it back on now. After I sat there for 25 seconds, I heard a voice right behind me sound like a whisper. "Try to keep this interesting for me, Tom." I turned around to see where the voice came from, and when I saw it made me scream. Sitting on my bed, staring right at me, was a Sonic plushie, smiling with bloodstains under its eyes.
Oh my goodness. Bob, that's who plays the game for this long, Bob?
I'm glad that's where the story comes from.
Yeah. Hmm. At what point, though, you gotta turn off the game, Bob? I mean, this person stuck with it for a very long time. Once I saw the blood,
Count sees the hyper realistic blood, he's gone.
But you know, I do hear stories like this. I believe a Pokemon game too, as well. What was it called?
Oh boy,
Emerald.
They have the
what's that song?
Cursed Black. Oh, the Hypno's Lullaby.
Yeah. Didn't you talk about that before?
I did. That's one of my biggest fears, the Hypno's Lullaby.
But so this is kind of like on the same lines of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
People take a popular thing, and in the world of creepypastas, you take a story, and you either develop your own or you base it off of something. These video game creepypastas, there's a lot out there. There's a ton of creepypasta video game stories based on things that you wouldn't necessarily be frightened of. I don't want to dwell on the video game stuff. I mean, it's an interesting topic, but there's a lot of them that are really good in visuals, but not so easy when I'm talking about it on audio. There's one about like Legend of Zelda called Ben Drowned, where you're like chased around in Majora's Mask by this Link statue that looks realistic, and it's absolutely horrifying, by the way. There are many variations to the Sonic.exe story. There's plenty of video games out there. They actually ported and hacked over this version. To my knowledge, this is just a story, not real. I'd like to pretend that this is probably not real, because every time I try to play a video game online now, I'm going to think it's out to get me, and such things as hyper-realistic blood.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing that can... I mean, come on, Bob.
Now count!
Yes.
There's a sequel.
Oh. But a Sonic game?
Yes. It's Sonic.exe round 2.
Oh,
I'm
my
not
goodness.
Gonna...
What more can you get out of a Sonic game?
There's this is an actual official sequel written by the author, and it's from the police's perspective doing the investigations of the disappearances and murders of Kyle and Tom. Now after that, there is a whole world of Sonic.exe sequels. I was going to read the sequel word for word, but for timing's sake, we'll cut it off there. But there's a whole world of these out there. And you know what? You could take that story how you will, because it is extremely cheesy. The hyper-realistic blood I can do without. But as far as a good, scary story, does it hit the mark, Count?
Yeah.
It does?
Why doesn't?
Well, I'm asking you, does it hit the mark? Does it actually make you a little frightened?
It does, Bob. See, here's the thing with video games, too. A lot of times you play video games by yourself, alone, in a dark room. So when this stuff happens, you're a little taken back. Now, if you're with a group of friends, you might think, well, this is kind of strange, but what bad could happen here? When you're alone in a dark room playing this video game, you get a little creeped out by what's going on your screen there, Bob. So yeah, it passed the test for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You had a good scare out of it?
Yeah, I did.
I
want to continue playing, but I got a good scare.
I think this story plays on the concept of, like you feel more comfortable playing a video game, right? You let yourself go. You're playing that as a form of escapism. And the fact that the author wrote this story based on something that you would play that you wouldn't expect it, it definitely gives you, like, a false sense of security.
Yeah.
Now, I do question the protagonist in the story, Tom, by not, you know... Why did you keep playing? After that nightmare, you should have just destroyed the disc.
Of course.
You know, like any other paranormal haunted object we find, you know, you don't want to just keep screwing around with it. If your Ouija board's planchet is moving on its own and it's threatening you, saying, you know, whatever, you don't put your hands back on the planchet and keep trying to speak to whatever's coming through. You get rid of the board.
Yeah.
You know, you move on. In this case, you got a letter saying destroy the disc. What did you do? You played the disc. That's fine. I will give you that 100%, Tom. You're more than, you know, you play that disc. But then you keep going. And you keep going. Then you have this nightmare, again, this Mothman Prophecies-esque nightmare about this entity coming after you. And what do, Tom? You turn back on the game and you keep trying to play.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No.
So the story has some moments, but, you know, as far as these creepypastas are concerned, and why I like to dedicate a month to this is because this is going to be lore down the future. This is going to be things that we're going to be talking about in future generations as far as the, you know, these video game creepypastas are going to be the next generation's things like Bloody Mary and those other, like the Ritual Pastas episode we had recently. Those are the types of things kids are going to be challenging themselves to do in a paranormal sense and like a big fear sense of, oh, you got to go online and play this haunted game and then you get attacked by things. This is lore building blocks 101. Now, some of these stories we talked about back in the Ritual Pasta story might actually have some truth to them. I don't necessarily believe that there's a haunted ROM hack of Sonic.exe that is a portal to another dimension, plane of reality, that lets loose this evil Sonic the Hedgehog, but it's, you know, you gotta think that it's still a really interesting story. I don't necessarily, I think the bleeding eyes thing was a common theme, and I can go past that. I only need it once, and there's so much blood in that game, and specifically hyper-realistic blood.
Yes.
What is the difference between regular blood and hyper-realistic blood?
I don't know. I think it's just blood that looks more realistic, Bob. I don't know.
it's more hyper.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But that's our episode for the week.
It's creep. I guess that's why they call it a creepypasta.
It's a quiet, you know, they're fun stories. Yeah. They're real fun stories. But a lot of them, like when we talked about Slender Man, a lot of them are straight up fictional entities.
Yeah.
But is there some truth behind them? Is there, you know, is there actual lore that goes back to things? Now, as far as the Sonic.exe, I just wanted to get our feet wet with the month with a very popular story that I'm gonna go on a comfort level and debunk it. I'm gonna say this is just a story. Yes, you can play along with the hacked video game. You can go online and download it, but I don't know. I'm debunking it. It's not a real story. I don't believe that there is a Tom and Kyle getting attacked by a video game character. What do
you
think?
Bob, anything's possible.
You want to believe?
I want to believe. Sonic the Hedgehog might be out for Tom here.
You got any closing words? A quip, if you will?
Well, Bob, another great episode here. Great to have Craig on talking about Haunted Honey. And Sonic the Hedgehog, I'll never play the game the same knowing this now. I'll be looking out for the hyper-realistic blood.
Folks, if you want to see me and Count Panic actually play the game,
yeah, that'd be kind of
cool.
Let
us know. We're debating doing this Twitch stream thing here in the near future. I'm going to play some Phantomphobia here in the near future. But if you guys want to see us play these like creepypasta games, let us know. We'd love to maybe experiment with that if you guys are interested in seeing us do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's your quip?
That is my quip.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.